trying to get fired up. I'm not sure even James Brown can do it after last night's debacle. John Corral is here to talk basketball with us. Hello there, John.
Hey, yeah, sorry, not feeling funky right now.
Man, oh man. So, you know, the Bruins, I'd sort of gotten over that. I'll settle in. The Celtics, no Joel Embiid. They will lift our spirits. No.
And I feel like maybe we should have known better. But, yeah, it's a missed opportunity there. But the Sixers, without Joel Embiid, play a little bit of a different style of basketball, a little bit of more up-tempo, faster, more spread out, kind of like better matched up against the Celtics. Weird to say that the guy that might be winning the MVP in a couple of hours is the type of player where the Celtics maybe have a better matchup because of how much runs through him. I'll tell you one thing, James Harden doesn't get all those shots if Joel Embiid is on the floor. And that changed the dynamic of the game significantly because the way they were playing, Harden helped a lot of the other guys get going. So you don't want to use that as an excuse because it's possible that they could be without Embiid. They shouldn't have him in game two, and so you want to be able to be ready for another Harden led spread out type of Philly team that's willing to kind of go toe to toe with you offensively.
And why did the Celtics have so much trouble with that zone defense?
I mean, that's a question that's been asked of them, of this core group, for years. I remember asking Brad Stevens that question. I asked Ime Udoka that question. And look, a zone is supposed to be disruptive. You're supposed to come down and throw different defenses at another team. And they're supposed to be the type of things, like the zone is supposed to be the type of thing that when another team sees it, they go, oh, well, wait a second, let's slow it down. We're going to run a different thing. You're in a little bit of a groove, and you see a different setup in front of you, and you have to get guys in a different kind of alignment. So but that shouldn't take as long as it does. And I think what happens with the Celtics is they like to shoot so much, the emphasis on three-point shooting is so great that when the zone hits, they just try to shoot over the top of it. And if they're not hitting those shots, then the zone will be effective. Instead of, a lot of times, I like to see a guy get into the middle of the zone, collapse it, because if people don't understand, when you're playing a zone, you're playing an area. You're not playing a person. And when you're playing a zone, there are areas that overlap, and a lot of those areas tend to overlap right around the free throw line. And so that becomes a weird spot for the defense where five guys on the floor almost feel like it's their responsibility to kind of guard that area. So that is an easy way to collapse a defense, get all five guys to react. And when you do that, once the ball gets into the middle of the paint, then you can have a cutter go baseline. Then you can have guys screen on the perimeter and maybe set some guys up for some open shots. Then you can really mess with the zone. But you got to recognize it quickly, and the Celtics didn't recognize it quickly enough. And you got to be willing to do that hard work, and the Celtics seem to be more content to shoot over the top of it.
And I found it interesting in your piece at Boston Sports Journal that after the game, Coach Mazzulla was more concerned with the number of three-pointers that were attempted.
Yeah, and that's been his point of emphasis for a long time this year. He wants this team to shoot the threes. He wants them to take a lot of them. And he feels like three-point shooting rate is something that is indicative of success in today's NBA. And there is legitimacy to that. The Celtics also had 26 points in the paint after the first quarter. And there, with no rim protection, there were opportunities to keep getting to the rim. All you had to do was bust that zone, force them to play man, and the opportunities at the rim were going to still be there. The Celtics put up 36 points after one, or 38 points after one, and 66 points at the half attacking the rim. So they put up plenty of points. They were on pace for 132. That should be enough to win any game in the NBA. So I understand Mazzulla's focus on the three-point shot, and you know, you look at it again, and there are definitely some attempts at the rim that could have been better reads that they kick out and those turn into open three-pointers. But I don't know. My focus is what's working and how can you keep doing what's working. And some nights you're going to shoot 53 pointers and some nights you're going to shoot 26 of them, and it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, as long as you're doing what works, that's what I want to see, and I wanted to see more of what was working.
We're talking with John Corrales here on Downtown. It was Malcolm Brogdon, right? And they may face this decision if Embiid is not back in game two. Should they have avoided doubling up on James Harden?
Yeah, I think there are times where they should have avoided that. And it's, I think the key there is commit one way or the other. Either you're going to double, and when you do double, send a hard double team. Or if you're not going to send a hard double team, then don't double team at all. And it felt like the Celtics were kind of half-stepping when it came to their double teaming. It wasn't an aggressive enough double team where it forced Harden to get rid of the ball. It was just enough of a double team to say, okay, we're going to get the ball out of his hands, but it wasn't forceful enough where he just gave it up to the first guy. He was able to make plays out of that double team. And you don't want to do that. Harden's a really good passer. No matter what he may or may not have left, if this was a flash in the pan or indicative of anything else, he still is an excellent passer. So they need to be more forceful on those double teams. They need to make sure that Harden is feeling the physicality there on those double teams. And if they're not going to do that, then play him straight up and don't let D'Anthony Melton get going. Don't let Tyrese Maxey get going or Tobias Harris to get open from three. That was the killer. It wasn't even the 45 from Harden. I think they could have survived that. The key to the game is D'Anthony Melton keeping the game close late in the second quarter when the Celtics were up 12 and Melton hits a couple of three-pointers because there are miscommunications on defense. That's where the Celtics need to tighten it up. So it's fine if they play Harden one-on-one. It's fine if Harden goes off in a situation without Embiid. It's the same thing as when Embiid is there. Don't let the other guys get going.
Well, as you pointed out, the Celtics need to decide who they want to be. And I feel like you think they could be successful a number of different ways, but you got to pick one and stick with it and not change strategy during the course of a game.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think there's always a way to adjust. And you sometimes the opportunity that presents itself is something that's a little different from your comfort zone. But I think what the Celtics do is they try really hard to be that ball moving, share the ball, 0.5 basketball team. And when they're doing that well, that's fine. But I don't know, Rich, it doesn't seem like that's entirely in their nature. And I think what they really want to do is go ISO and all of that stuff and play a little more bombs away. And either commit to that and figure out how to do that successfully, or the players need to say, hey, what works for us is passing the ball and being that sharing high assist team. I personally think that's their best offense. I think that's the best way for them to win these games. And it hurts them later in games where they are getting away from what works in the final 3-4 minutes of the game. That's where I really want them to be picking one way or the other. Either stay with that high-powered, move-the-ball offense or go to the ISO and just be an ISO team the whole game. Don't change in the last 3 minutes because you're getting away from what's working.
John Corrales, Boston Sports Journal, the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for the radio therapy, John. We appreciate it as always, and we'll check in with you again next Tuesday.
All right, I'll talk to you then.
John Corrales here on Downtown.